In a country still finding its feet after years of conflict, names carry weight. They speak to who we are, where we have been, and where we hope to go. You will find that identity in our languages, our traditions, our heroes, and yes, even in the names of our schools and universities. But what happens when those names no longer fit? When institutions meant to inspire pride and purpose still echo choices made by others long ago? Across South Sudan, a quiet but powerful conversation is beginning to take shape about ownership, identity, and the future of higher education. Today, we explore the names of our universities, the stories behind them, and the growing call to rename them in a way that truly reflects us. At the heart of South Sudan's higher education system lies a quietly persistent question, one that's often overlooked, yet rich with meaning. What's in a name? From Juba to Wau, Malakal to Bor, Rumbek to Torit, and Awil to Yambio, public universities across the country bear names few have ever paused to examine. But for one South Sudanese scholar, these names are more than labels. They hold layers of identity, traces of colonial past, and unresolved questions about legacy and ownership.
We had names that did not necessarily fit for purpose, especially for our identity as people of South Sudan. And you can see that across the board, from neighborhoods to streets to institutions such as the universities and technical colleges. So what needs to be done in order to create that element of ownership and that cultural feeling and belonging in terms of what we have, it's going to have to be done through the renamings of those institutions. So, for example, you have the University of Bahr Ghazal. That's more of a regional university. There's no need for that. A university in character, it's a university in character. And as a result, it would be best suited to call it the University of Wau, for example, and other universities. University of Juba is already a perfect example.
Dr. Agustino Ting Mayai, a respected scholar and director general at the South Sudan Bureau of Statistics, sees university naming as more than a bureaucratic task. It's a powerful cultural statement. He believes many of these names were imposed, remnants of a past when decisions were made far from the people they impacted.
Same thing is true for, say, for example, Alexandria in Tonj. I just don't see it fitting there. We can name it maybe John Garang University or William Ding Niall Technical College, whatever you name it. But it's just not fitting right now based on the namings that we have. And this is why it's quite essential for us to sit down and reevaluate what was presented to us by others. Those decisions were not made by us. And so whatever names that were thrown at us were decided for us. And as a result, I think it makes a lot of sense for us to sit down and say, look, we're now an independent country. What identity do we really carry forward? Is it Hajalaba? Is it, what is it? Would it be better to call it the Hailado? I think that's a question we should ask ourselves.
For historical perspective, we turn to Professor Peter Duok Nyaba, former Minister of Higher Education in South Sudan. He explains that the creation and naming of many of these institutions was shaped more by political motives than by educational policy.
Well, the naming of universities, five public universities, Juba University, Bahr Ghazal University, Upper Nile University, Rumbek University, and John Garang University of Science and Technology. As for Juba University, of course, Juba University was a demand, a political demand by Southerners. And this came up in 1965 in the Roundtable Conference. It was a demand by Southerners that there should be a university, because one of the problems we had, South Sudan and Northern Sudan, of course, was that the extreme asymmetry in power, in wealth, and in knowledge. So Southerners wanted a university in Juba to be established as a way of equalizing and bringing Southern Sudan to the same level as in the north.
Professor Nyaba records that the founding of the University of Juba, the oldest university in the country, was rooted in a broader struggle for equality.
So Juba University, when it came to be established in 1975, 77 actually, when it was opened. There was no buildings. So the Somani took over the girls' secondary school. This is where the university is TLS. It functions now. It was a girls' secondary school built by Abood before he was overthrown in 64. As for Upper Nile and Bahr Ghazal universities, these were universities established by Ingalls in the context of massification of higher education, in which in every state in the Sudan there was to be a university.
But what about the others? Their names, more often than not, reflect the spur of the moment political decisions rather than thoughtful strategic planning.
Upper Nile University is established in a technical, what used to be Malakal Technical School. And Bahr Ghazal is established in the intermediate school, WAW Intermediate School. Of course, they'll have to be moved to their new places. Rumbek Secondary School, like Torit and Awel and Yambio, these were roadside, I call them roadside, declared universities, because the president of the Sudan then, Omar al-Bashir, was so happy. This was in 2010, he was now campaigning to be elected the president of the country. So he declared. In Rumbek, people carried him. He was so impressed that he declared there would be a university in Rumbek.
We turn back to Dr. Agustin Oteng Mayai, who says this lack of planning extends to the present day and believes that change won't be easy.
Change is always resisted, and that's why on my post I called upon the chancellor, the president, to set up a committee and the Higher Education Council to review all of our institutions, higher education institutions, and make recommendations on a variety of factors, including quality improvement. But the naming should come from the top leadership. It's going to have to come from the chancellor. We will all propose. There will be resistance, especially those who are still connected to the Arab culture. Would like to see things stand as they have always been. And that's human nature. We get used to stuff, we want to keep it. But I understand that majority of our people would want to have these institutions after their own cultural names, their own spaces, and they would embrace that. University of Northern Bahr Ghazal, State of Northern Bahr Ghazal, it would be Awul. I know people of Awul would appreciate that. Or name it Riyad Makwey for that matter, or name it somebody else who is rooted in the area, in recognition of those individuals.
So is it time to rename our universities, to give them titles that reflect local identities like WAW, Bor, Awil, Malakal, Yambio, and Torit, or honoring individuals who helped shape the nation? One notable example is the Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology, a university name that carries both legacy and meaning.
Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology is named in memory of Dr. John Garang himself. In the same way, the people in Bor itself were thinking of how to honor the hero. And under Philip Thornlake, who was the governor by then, they thought of having an institute of technology in Bor. And that institute was Institute of Science and Technology. But when it was inaugurated and to lay down the foundation, His Excellency Gerald Kir Mayardit, the president of South Sudan by then, and who is currently also the president of the country, Republic of South Sudan, he gave the name that this institute must be called Dr. John Garang Memorial University of Science and Technology.
The university's vice chancellor, Professor Abraham Matoch, says the name was no accident. It was a deliberate tribute to one of South Sudan's founding fathers.
He was right, as his colleague in the movement. There's no another way to remember the good work done by Dr. John Garang is to have an institution, an important institution like this in his name. And that's how the name came about.
More than just a symbolic name, Dr. John Garang University is steadily growing in both capacity and reputation.
The university is now a member among 175 universities in Africa, and that is RUFORUM. We have over 80 teaching staff. If we include teaching assistants, it would be 100 or something. When we talk of teaching staff, from master's to PhD level, we don't count teaching assistants as teaching staff because they are under training. They are only waiting to be sent for their master's. Few of them have come now. Those who are doing their master's, they are already back. And some who are doing their PhD, few of them are actually back. And fully, many of them will be back this year, at the end of this year.
But Dr. Agustino Ting Mayai insists that if naming is to have meaning, it must go hand in hand with substance and leadership.
It's going to take serious leadership, robust leadership, intentional leadership, to bring about changes in the quality of teaching, quality of research. And this means basically investing a lot of resources and being keen on who you recruit for a faculty, for a professor, for example, or a teaching assistant, who you admit as a student, because not everybody is university material, and who you send to a technical college for a better economy. Because, I mean, an economy is going to be better served if we invest more resources in technical colleges. Universities are supposed to do research. Innovation comes from the universities. But if you don't have the right individuals teaching our students, you don't have the right students coming in from high school, we will be wasting our resources. So two things have to happen. You're going to rename these institutions, but also invest in quality of education. I mean, one of the ways of doing it is by investing in research outfits.
Professor Peter Duok Nyaba agrees that reforms are long overdue.
When we came in 2011, we had to make changes. There was no way of opening to RIT and AWEL and YAMBIO. So we called them university projects. Projects, they would become universities much later when there were funds and money for their proper establishment as universities.
As South Sudan continues to shape its national identity, the question lingers, will its universities reflect the people and places they serve or the path they are trying to move beyond? For Dr. Ting, the path forward calls for bold reforms, intentional leadership, and above all, a sense of ownership. For some, it's just a matter of geography. For others, it's rooted in politics. But in a country like South Sudan, still shaping its identity, a name holds weight. It carries memory, meaning, and belonging. As the debate over university names gains momentum, one truth stands out. You can't build a future on borrowed names. It's time to reclaim, rename, and redefine, because a university is not just a center of learning. It's a reflection of who we are and who we aspire to become. For Radio Miraya, I am Moyo Jacob Felix.